You need to keep that one handy, Joyce. That's good. I like that. That's good. Job chapter 23. Right before the book of Psalms, Job chapter 23. I came across a piece of scripture in the middle of one of my messages a few weeks ago, and it intrigued me. And I just felt like I wanted to dwell there a little bit. I'll be honest with you, this is probably not a Sunday morning message because most of the people, many of the people may not have been able to handle this. We know that Job was highly esteemed of God. He says, There's no greater man than that. No, he wasn't perfect. He had his issues. And he's human. He's tempted like all of us are. And we're going to see that. And the fact is, I don't think God really gives him a hard time too much with where he's going through, what all the things he's going through. In fact, God knew what he was going to do, how he was going to respond. He knew that before he brought his name up before Satan. And it's not that we don't have struggles. It's when the struggles come, what do? When the struggles come, where do we go? How do we approach it? How do we attack it? And the fact is, there's going to be times in our life when the struggles come, and there's going to be a sustained amount of time. There's going to be a continuum there where it seems that nothing is happening. Nothing's getting any better. In fact, if anything, things are getting worse. And the fact is, sometimes, even if things aren't getting worse, the longer that goes, it seems like it's worse. Because it's just going on and on and on. What do you do when God basically seems to have left you hanging out on a limb all by yourself? In Job chapter 23, I want to read this scripture first, a small chapter here, there's 17 verses. We're going to go back and I'm going to tell a little bit about the story, and then we'll kind of walk through this chapter. Job chapter 23. Job most of you know the issue, and we'll talk about it a little bit, but Job has had a very rough time. And was all said and done, when he's already down about as far as a man can go, his friends show up and kick him. And kick him hard and kick him again. And then they take turns. And Job answered, chapter 23, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat, speaking of the Lord. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I want to know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? In other words, he's going to do what he wants to do. His soul desireth even that he doeth, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. Let me say it again. Therefore, I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, when I think about this, I'm afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. I'm not sure this is the best title for what I'm going to talk about tonight, but it's the one that I felt like I wanted to use for this message. How important is God? I say to you, how important is God to you? Let's pray, and we're going to spend a little time here this evening. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings, and we know we don't deserve the blessings. As Job said, naked I came into the world, naked I'll leave. I brought nothing in, I'm going to take nothing out. How could I complain when I've had more than I deserve? I've already had more than I deserve. And yet your graciousness and your mercy is so amazing. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us to stand before you in awe and in gratitude, knowing that everything we have is only by your generosity. And yet, Lord, let us not forget your love. You love us with an everlasting love. Your mercy endures forever. We have access by your grace to all the glories and blessings of heaven. And Lord, if you choose to take us through some issues and some times that we do not understand, even then, we know that you know what you're doing. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless us here this evening. I don't know what all is going on, why I should preach this message tonight. But Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit again to move. This is what I need. You know I need this to be able to make this sense, because things of God are foolishness to the natural man. These are obviously things of God. Help us see things as you see them. And we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do in our life. Prepare us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Job is chosen by God to show what true faith and righteousness is. Several times God says that Job is a man that fears God and eschews evil. That means he runs away from, gets as far away from evil as he can. He tries to destroy it if he can. Satan accuses Job of only following God because God has put a hedge of protection around Job. God promises to do such things with those that fear him and turns, and that word is you, to turn off evil. That's really what it means, to turn off evil, to part from evil. God blesses, God promises to take care of us and to bless those who, listen, who fear him and stay away from evil. He promises that. And he has done that with Job. Now the question is, and old Satan kind of, he has the, actually the Lord kind of brings him up towards Satan. And the thing is, I know that God knew what Satan was going to do when he brought his name up. Also notice there that God knows all, Satan doesn't know all. He's not omniscient. Don't fear Satan, just do right. Now, so God, all things being normal, blesses those who fear him and turns off evil. To stay away, as far away from evil as possible. But then we have this account. In Job chapter 1, verse 8, if you want to look at it real quick with me, I'm going to read through real quick some things here just to bring everything back to our mind. Job chapter 1 verse 8 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man," in other words, mature man, well aged, if you will, in his faith in God, "an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, and he said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now wait a minute. Satan says that God has put a hedge of protection around him, and that's why he's serving. God says Job is serving, that's why I put a hedge of protection around him. Again, in Job chapter 2, verse 10, Job did not sin with his lips, it says. And what had happened by that time, he had lost his kids, his servants, and everything. All his material goods was basically gone. So God takes all of Job's earthly treasures. Chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." So Satan accuses Job and says that if you take Job's health from him, Job will curse God to his face. That's Job chapter 2, verse 5. Now Job has nothing, and his health is gone, and then his so-called friends decide it is Job's fault because of some secret sin. If you go to chapter 19, look, 19:19. Let me show you this. Job chapter 19:19. "And all my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth." I love that. There's nothing. "Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are satisfied with my and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book," and they were, "that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." You know what he's saying? He said, "Well, I'm going to see. Well, I know your descendants are going to." No. Me, my eyes. I'm not talking figuratively here. I'm not talking about all that stuff. I'm saying my eyes shall see him in the flesh. Job has lost all. He's been forsaken by all. And yet Job knows that God is true and sovereign. God is still his hope and his salvation. God is still the giver of life. And as Peter responded when Jesus asked if they would leave him too, when some other folks left, he says, "Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." That's what Job was saying. Where am I going to go? Life is in him. And though the worms consume this flesh, I will still see him face to face. Now, wait a minute. You know what he's saying? He's saying that about the God who's allowing the worm to consume his flesh. He says that there's a greater perspective than right now. There's more to life than this life. Most likely, there are going to be times when all of us and all seems to be lost, and you feel forsaken by God. What will be your response? I've often said, we need to make decisions now so that when the time comes, we know the decision to make. If we wait for the crisis to show up and sneak up on us, we may not be ready. We may have a little knee-jerk reaction. We may go into what our earthly and fleshly, survival mode, and not make the right decision. Who are you going to turn to? Or are you going to turn from him? Do you make your decisions based on your current situation and what appears to be the most profitable in the immediate? Or do you trust the character of God and determine your path according to the Word of God? God was able to trust Job. Now you think about this. In one day, he lost his kids. He lost his servants. He lost most of his wealth and his possessions. All of it. Now what do you do? Those folks down in Texas, a lot of them, their whole lives just washed away. What do you do? Where do you stand? Do you look up and shake your fist and curse God? Number one, I just want us to think this through as Job did. Number one, he had normal human hurt, dismay, and complaint. There was normal human hurt and dismay and complaint. He says, I may be complaining, but wait a minute. He says, my actions of faith in God are speaking louder than my groanings. Watch, he says, verse 1 of chapter 23, Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke, what I do, that really what I mean by stroke, what I do with my hands, what I'm working, is heavier than my groaning. It appears that God, he says in verse 6, it appears as if God is nowhere to be found. Verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I wish I could find where he is. I'd go to him right there at his throne. I'd talk to him. I wish I could find him. I would like to hear God's side of all this. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He said, I'd like to bring my case up before God. I would know the words which he would speak. In other words, when it says I would, it means my will is to know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. I would at least have an explanation of what he's doing to me. I just don't understand what in the world God is doing. I'm confused. I know God loves me and he cares and he's just. But that does not seem consistent with what I'm experiencing right now. There's this battle waging on the inside of Job, just like he does with all of us. In the back of our mind, we know in our heart, God's good. God cares. He loves me. Sure doesn't look like it. But is his love based on what he gives you? Is his love based on what you possess? Is that the full measure of his love? What we get out of him? Is that the full measure of love, how we feel that he feels about us? Now, God's been faithful to Job, and yes, he has had a hedge of protection around him. And he served him, and God put that hedge. Now, Satan asked the question, what if the hedge was removed? Would you still serve him? He says, you know what he would do? He'd curse you to his face. Would you curse God to his face if everything that you have is lost? If you're not getting anything out of God, have you decided that God is no longer important? That's my question. Is he no longer important? How important is God to you? Is he important enough to you that you need him, you want his words, even when you feel he's left you and there's no response? He says, I'm looking everywhere around. I'm looking forward. I'm looking backward. I'm looking side to side. He's nowhere to be found. And if I could find him, I'd go right to where he is and I'd plead my cause. But I can't even plead my cause because I feel like he's not there. I feel like he's left me. Confusion like this can happen to any one of us. It's normal human hurt, dismay, and complaint. And if you say you haven't done it, you probably make God a liar. Truth's not in it. We've all in our hearts somewhere along the way said, I just don't understand. I don't understand why God's doing what he's doing. Now you got, here's the two sides of our complaint. Number two, whatever God is doing, it will end up to be for my good. Paul said, I've said it before recently, I glory in my tribulations also, because tribulation worketh patience. You ever hear the patience of Job? And patience, experience. You read the end of the book of Job, he's got some experience. He comes out the other side with twice as much as he started with. Yeah, but his kids are all still dead. There it with the Lord. Then he gets a whole other set. So when they get the glory, he has two sets of kids. He only had one set at a time for his years down here. But for eternity, when it really counts, he's got two sets. Of course, Mrs. Job had to give birth twice. 10 kids each time, I think, was it? 20 kids. Woo-wee! Ought to put her on one of those reality shows or something. Anyway, he says, I don't know what it is, but God, experience brings hope. Look at verse 6 in our passage there, Job 23, 6. Will he plead against me with his great power? Can you imagine standing before God face to face and him pleading against me with his great power? Listen, we're not talking about a man. Can you imagine God saying, Job, thou hast sinned. Throw him into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, will he plead against me with his great power? Look at the verse. No. You know why? That's not who he is. That's not who God is. No, he will put strength in me. God is not doing this to destroy me or to ruin me, but to make me greater and more able to face the world around me. He said, I'm going to use it. He said, when you come forth, he said, he'll be as gold. Verse 7, there the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. In other words, truth will rise up on my side and prove me innocent. Now, by the way, if your heart smites you, as the Bible says, you stand before God, maybe there is something you need to confess and forsake in front of him. Now, we need to be careful. You know, when times like that come, I've said this to you, especially this one particular person, I mentioned this a few months ago, was having a lot of struggles and said, I feel like Job. And I said, was there any sin in there at all? I don't know if there is. You find it. Wasn't trying to be like Job's friends, but is there sin? I don't know. And this person said, no, I'm squeaky clean. We've got to be careful. And like I said, within a few months later, this person was committing a felony. That didn't just happen by accident. But if things are going on, you need to sit down and get along with the Lord and say, search me, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Wash me with hyssop. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I don't want to lose the joy of my salvation. Seek him. Find out what's going on. But the fact is, it is possible that though we were not squeaky clean, we can basically see that, you know, I'm confessed up. I'm clean before him. And yet nothing has changed. That can happen. And so Job is saying here, you know what? The righteous might dispute with him. I mean, the fact is, people know what he said. In fact, he said before earlier, he said, even today my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. He says, I know I'm complaining. And I know it's bitter. And I know I'm having a hard time and everybody can see it. But the fact is, they know that I'm still standing with God. They still know that I'm still doing right. They know that I have not turned my back on God. Now, I don't know what in the world he's doing, but I have not. And he said, the righteous, they could almost testify for me. They know where I'm standing. They know what I'm doing. There's a normal human hurt, dismay and complaint. There's a battle raging on the inside of us. Now we know that whatever God is doing, it will end up for my good. Number three, the problem is I can't see what God is doing. I know what he's doing is for my good, but I cannot see what he's doing. Look at verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, and there's stuff going on, but I cannot behold him. I can't see. I can't, just can't see what he's doing. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. See, not only can I not see what God is doing, it's as if I cannot see God in this at all. Not only can I not see what God is doing, but I just can't even see God in this. It is as if God has left me. Remember the battles raging on the inside. We were honest. We started asking ourselves some questions. Does this mean that God is non-existent? Maybe this means that God has forgotten me. Does this mean that God thinks I'm worthless? No. In fact, it may mean that he thinks very highly of you and trusts you like he did Job. He says, I'm going to use you to do great things. He says, I would like to plead my cause before God, but God doesn't seem to be found. If I pled my cause before God, I think that I would be found innocent. But I can't even find God to plead to him. What in the world is God doing? How can you lose something as big as God? It's like he just... poof. God's not lost. God is just out of sight for a little while. What will you do while God cannot be seen? That's my question. What will you do during those times when you can't see God? Are you looking to go? Are you going to go looking for answers from some other source? Or are you going to continue to seek God with all your heart? This is when faith is really real. It will come. This is when folks fall by the wayside. They'll say, I lost my faith. Now, you had faith in what God was going to do for you. I'm not sure you had faith in who God is. So what's the answer? I have a normal human complaint. Now, I know everything God's doing is for my good. And yet, I can't see what God's doing. But I know something that he is doing because of his word. Number four, God is refining me. He is refining me. That's not a whole lot of fun. Look at verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I don't know what road he's taking. I don't know where he is. I can't see him in front of me, behind me, either side. It's as if he's not there. If I could find him, I'd plead my cause. And I think I got plenty of friends around here who could kind of testify and back me up. But I can't find him. But I do know this. He knows where I am. He knows where I am. He knows what he is doing. And when he's finished, I'll come forth as gold. You know what that means? He doesn't let it in the heat any longer than necessary. But he'll let us in the heat until the job is done. He's molding us. He's making us. He's refining us. Listen, what that means is he's taken all the gold ore. You always say, well, that person's just a diamond in the rough. God can see the jewel that you are. The problem is with these jewels, we will crawl out of his hand when he's trying to refine us. You see, he takes us and he puts us in that pot. And when you take gold ore, you put it in the pot, you heat it until everything has become liquid. And all the impurities show up to the top. We see ourselves for who we really are. Even the little complaining that we do, I mean, we say, well, that's justifiable. It's justifiable because we're human, so it's bound to be there. But it's really not justifiable because we know who God is. Our imperfections all come to the top. And what we're supposed to do is confess, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us and take that right off and throw it away. But see, what we do is we say, well, I've got this, he heats me up, and it all comes to the top. We find out what we are, and what we do is say, God, you're not allowed to do this to me. And we stir it all back into the pot. Now, he who hath begun a good work, and you shall perform until the day of Jesus Christ, he's not going to stop. You know what that means? We got to go through the fire again. Now, isn't that silly? I don't want to go through the fire. You don't want to go through the fire. You say, well, I can't take what Job is. Well, watch this. Don't be insulted, because I'm not either. I don't think I am either. I don't know how I can handle what Job went through. But we'll tell you this. God will try you at one stage. The Bible talks about being purified 7 times. That means God takes us through a process. There are some things that we think is awful. Remember, Nathan's getting ready to set up household. Housekeeping here and all the bills and all the stuff and the thinking about all this and pay for this and all this kind of crazy stuff, you know. And remember what it was like? And you go, now that's just normal stuff. And there's bigger things. God does the same thing with us. He will try us with things that seem well overwhelming. But tribulation works with patience, and patience experience, experience hope. I got through that one, so we'll get through it again. Then he puts us in, and he turns up the heat a little bit more. He refines us again, and again, and again. So until we become as gold, he's refining me. God is making us more like him. God is growing our faith with the tribulations that work patience and patience experience. Experience maketh not to be ashamed. Romans 5, 1 through 6, go back and look at it. Job was a great man. But watch this. Go to the very last chapter of Job. Chapter 42. And look at verse 10. He's been through all this. It was like he was trapped in a nightmare. He was in a captivity. 42:10, and the Lord turned the captivity. Interesting, use that word. The captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The part that he gave him twice as much as before is just almost like it's an added little thing there. That was the reward for being faithful. But the fact is, he says, Job, you're a wonderful man, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something even greater in you and just refine you a little bit more. I'm going to send you three buddies. And they are, you know, they're going to just tell you how bad a guy you are. It's all your fault. Da, 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 da. And I'm going to show you how the world thinks. And you know what? Job stayed true to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying he didn't get into some issues there. He felt some problems. My guess is there was an issue. I can't believe these guys are coming over again. Here they come down the road. They were here all day yesterday making me miserable, and here they come again. I thought these guys were my friends. Here I sit. I've lost everything. My body is like, it's just covered in boils. I just hurt all over. I can't even hardly sit down. Can't stand up. They're on the bottom of my feet. If I scratch something, I'll break one of them open. Miserable. And then they're going to show up. And it was still there. What did the verse say? And the Lord delivered Job from his captivity, and then he was able to pray for his friends. When he prayed for them. As I got something I want to teach you, Job. You're a great man, but I want you to be like Christ. I want you to commend your love to them while they're yet sinners. That's real love. That's Christ-like. They should be praying for me. He says, you pray for your buddies. They still have their family. Now, they never had as many goods as you have, but they have what they have now. You have nothing. They have their health. You want me to pray for them? Yeah. He says, I'm going to teach you something. See, Job's affliction taught him who he is and who God is, and his fear of God increased, and thus his obedience to God increased. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Psalm 119:74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Job, honestly, he had to have known that. He had to have lived that. Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know what he's saying? God is worth every affliction that comes my way. That's how important God is to me. My God is worth more to me than release from the misery. I'd rather have God than be comforted. He's saying this, number five. To obey and keep God in my life is more necessary than anything else. How important is God to you? When things aren't going your way, do you go the other way? Verse 11, he says, my foot hath held his steps. He says, I've been walking right. His way have I kept and not declined. Listen, I've been doing exactly best I know. And when I've messed up, I've kept myself confessed, but I've been doing what God has told me to do. I've been walking where he tells me to walk, doing what he tells me to do. I've been doing it all. Verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I haven't backed off what he told me. I've lost everything. I'm in misery 24/7. And I haven't stepped back. I've been doing, listen, my strokes, what I've been doing have proven. Now, I know I've done some complaining. I know I have, and that wasn't good. But I tell you what, I still live by what I believe. I'm not perfect, but I'm still living by what I believe. Yes, there's been times when I've come to a confidant and I just said, I just don't know what God's doing. I wish I knew what he was doing. I just hurt all the time. I feel bad for my wife. The kids are all killed. I have nothing to help her. I can't even go to work and get anything to take care of her. So there's that thought, the complaint, that battle that's going on the inside. And yet I know that God's doing right. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I trust his word. If trusting his word means I don't even have lunch or dinner today or tomorrow or the next day, that's fine because I trust his word. We complain when the air conditioner goes on the blink. When the toilet gets clogged up. When the electric goes off because of a storm. Because the clothesline fell. The washing machine broke. We lose our faith in God because of some things that, by the way, 100 years ago, we wouldn't have any of those things. So nobody back then was complaining because those things happened. Nobody was complaining. They were rejoicing in the Lord. And we have all the guys. Job said, listen, I've had it all. I brought nothing into this world. I will carry nothing out of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Keeping God's word is more important to Job than life itself. Because this life is just a moment in time. And we have all eternity. Obeying God is to be more important than the immediate blessings of God. Knowing that God is faithful and true, even though it appears that God has turned his back on him. He continued to trust and obey God even when no good appeared to be coming of it. We have temporal needs. We know that. And these needs make themselves known, such as hunger. You wonder why I always get done at 12 o'clock, you know? I don't always, well, close to right about then. That's when my alarm goes off. No, it's, but I have an alarm that kind of goes off right about 20 after 11 during the week, and I'll go have something to eat and come back. And yet to be right with God is more important than Job, than even his necessary food. Food is necessary. It is a need. It's natural. It's important. But said God's more important than even the necessary things in life. Number six. This is the thoughts that's going through his mind. God knows what he is doing, and I'm not going to change God's mind. We can fight God, but what good is that going to do? In fact, I tell you the truth, sometimes we help somebody out of the fire, and that just means they got to go back through the fire again. It's called enabling. And in love, we want to help them. Their daddy is taking them to the woodshed, and fighting daddy to get him out of that is not going to do him the job that needs to be done, because dad knows when to chasten, when not to chasten, how hard and how long. And if we pull him out of the fire, God's going to have to just go back and do it all over again. Got to be careful. God knows what he's doing. Look at verse 13. But he, God, is in one mind. He's not struggling with this. He's got his mindset. He's one mind, and who can turn him? You can change God's mind? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. God's going to do what he has decided to do. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. God is doing exactly what he planned to do, so that when I can come forth, I will come forth as gold. And last part of that verse, and this probably isn't going to be the last thing. There's many other things he's going to do. Now, I'll tell you this. This is true. Give you a little bit of hope here. So he's just a big old meanie. There's an awful lot of things, awful lot of lessons that we could avoid. We don't have to necessarily go through the heat and the pressure. He put it all down in the book. So there's an awful lot of things that we could do before he has to take us through those things. Now, wait a minute. Job, you don't hear about his life being just one constant trial after another. It was this one portion of life. He was already being blessed of God. He feared God as chewed evil. And God had put a hedge of protection around him. The fact is, God's not asking us to be Jobs. Now, he may ask us to be an example for some other people. But you know, when that time comes, he'll give you the grace to do that. Listen, we have the Holy Spirit. God is in us. So the fact is, Job went all through this life. He had a bunch of grown kids. He had lived his life. He is enjoying his life. Why? Because he feared God and departed from evil. And unless God calls us to be a Job, and again, he'll give us grace if he does. Unless God calls us to be a Job, all we need to do is fear God and eschew evil. Turn off the evil. Turn off the evil. That might mean that box in the front of the living room. Get an awful lot of ideas out of that thing. Fill our mind with all kinds of things we shouldn't. Even when it says don't do this, somehow in our heart, don't do what? That's kind of, after all of a sudden we're curious. Complaining about God is not going to change God's plan. And the sooner we submit to God, the sooner we can move on. He said, when I think about how I am not going to change God's plan, the word, he says, trouble, it means startles me. Oh, my soul. Look at verse 15. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. He says, he's not going to change his plan. And God's here. He's everywhere. He's not changing his plans. When I think about it, you know what? I'm afraid of him. I fear God even more. Not that he's going to do something mean and nasty, but that he could do whatever he wants. Realizing that I'm nothing to be fighting against the plans of God is a real eye-opener. Shakes me up. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. says, God is stirring things up on the inside, thus making me moldable and teachable. God is preparing me for new heights in my walk with God. You see, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And so what he's doing, he's humbling him even further than he thought. But the fact is, he's going to humble him further, and he's going to bless him twice as much. He would have never been blessed twice as much if he hadn't been humbled even further than he was already. There was no greater man. You know what we feel like? God's picking on us. Look at verse 17. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. In other words, I didn't die in this dark place in my life, but God has not gotten rid of the darkness either. What's this? I'm not cut off before the darkness. I didn't die in this darkness, but he hasn't covered the darkness from my face. I feel the darkness. I'm here. Wouldn't it be more merciful if God would just get me out of this dark place in my life or just allow the darkness to kill me? Sometimes it's the way we feel. But God says, no. If it was easy on you, it wouldn't refine you. Now, those thoughts are going through his mind. I've mentioned this, but I'll just mention real quickly. I'm almost coming down to the end here. Number 7 is this thought. Job never learns why God did what he did. He never learned why. No one else ever heard the voice of God explaining what was going on. Just like it is in our day. Things go on in your life. You feel like God's picking on you. But God is doing what's right. And when he's finished, I will come forth as gold. I just wish he'd explain to me what he's doing. Good chances are that you're not going to know why. Job never knew why. Yet he was faithful. He gloried in the tribulation. Because tribulation works patience. And patience, hope. Experience. And experience, hope. God, in the long run, shows his faithfulness by his blessings. He's going to show when you've done right. It will come one some way or another, either on this side of eternity or on another side of eternity. Be patient with him. Here's my question. We're almost done. Is God more important to you than anything else, even when it appears that God doesn't think that you're important? Is God more important to you than anything else, even when it appears that God doesn't think you're important? Now here's the thing. You are important to God. Job was taken through a time to refine him. Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Even look, watch. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. But that says those things will come. And when we think God has forgotten us, he has not. He's not. You're not separated from his love. As is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Says, this is the way sometimes we have to live. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that means that God still loved Job when he lost everything, including his health. And Job said, I don't know what he's doing. I've been trying to do my best to do right. But I know when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. What did he say? And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Psalm 119:1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respected all thy commandments, I'll praise thee with uprightness of heart. Then I shall have learned the righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. In other words, I need to learn to trust God in the long run. When all is finished, God's going to bless. When the Lord appears to have turned his back on us, we can be assured he has not. And in those times, don't turn your back on him. We should come out the other side as gold. Father, tough message tonight. But Lord, we need to be ready to face the times. And sometimes things happen we don't really like. But Lord, nothing happens to us that doesn't go across your desk. So, Lord, you allow these things many times to refine us and make us as gold. May your word be as important to us as our necessary food, that we may do what you've called us to do. And when we don't see you moving, we can't trace your hand, as the song said, we can trust your heart. Nothing has separated us from your love. Nothing. Nothing. Not even our sin separates us from our love. May separate from our blessings, but not from your love. Lord, speak to our hearts here this evening. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The piano organ's going to play. You can go ahead and start. Lord, spoken to your heart about some things here this evening. Maybe we just need to make a decision. I'm going to determine. You may be in the middle of some things right now. You said, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.